We're studying in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. This past Bible study, we were studying into the judgments of the living nations that prophecy teaches us. We went into both the Old Testament and the New Testament on this. We want to continue from this point of view on the judgments that these scriptures are bringing out. These judgments are not for our time right now. Rather, they are after the time that takes place in a believer's life when they are judged. They receive the Holy Spirit. And then the next judgment is at the rapture, those judged to be ready for the rapture, the catching away of the church. The next judgment is the judgment of the nations. We studied about that. That takes place at the time of the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes back with the saints upon this earth to set up the 1,000 years reign, the 1,000 years of making this world perfect again, redeeming it back. It's commonly called the millennium because that word is just simply 1,000 years. To continue in this, let's read again to get our mind, our memory back as we read this in Revelations, the 20th chapter, reading from verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're still talking about the time of judgments, and we can see here in these verses of scriptures a little bit into the first resurrection that we see in verse 5. We know, as we've studied before, that the first resurrection is a continuing process. It isn't something that just happens instantly, but that the beginning of the first resurrection is the catching away of the bride. It continues through the tribulation, that judgment period. The first resurrection is finished at this time, the beginning of the millennium. We see, as we studied last time also, and we see here just who it is that is in this first resurrection. They are identified in verse 4. It's not guesswork or you have to decide for yourself, but as all the scriptures do, they identify, they teach what the meaning is. And here we see those that are included in this first resurrection in verse 4, as we read. There will be no resurrection of saints at the second coming of Jesus. The first resurrection that is mentioned here in verse 5 comprises those who will occupy thrones or will be ruling with him, as verse 4 says again. They are expressed, we studied this in chapter 4. If you need to renew your mind, get the tape on chapter 4. It tells more in-depth study of these that will be ruling with him in judgment and upon the thrones. They are those who have part in the rapture, and they are those that give their life during that first 3.5 years tribulation that we find meeting in heaven with the raptured bride. They're the ones that, as it says here in verse 4 and in chapter 4 that we've already studied, those that gave their life would not take the mark of the beast and that would not worship Satan. They were martyred for this cause. The thrones and the place of ruling has different degrees, as we already have studied. Some will be earthly thrones, some will be in the New Jerusalem, heavenly places. It is the first resurrection saints. Part of them are the raptured saints, part of them are the martyr saints. There is no record or even any mention or suggestion here that the earth is to be destroyed by fire at the end of the millennium. It is God's purpose to redeem his kingdom, to redeem this earth and not destroy it. That which is redeemed or brought back to God is not destroyed. So this is the whole purpose in God's mind. The reign of Jesus Christ and his saints for that 1,000 years will not end in such great failure that his kingdom will have to be destroyed by fire. Instead, we are told that he will deliver up unto God a perfect kingdom and a perfect work. Let's turn to a scripture that brings some light on this. Keep chapter 20 here, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It's dealing with the same time eras we're studying here at the beginning of the millennium after the Battle of Armageddon. From verse 20, 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 20, says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept," them that died. "For since by man came death," by man, Jesus, "came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order." Here is again that shows us so clearly the times, the orders, and how God has everything lined out ahead of time. "So every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Look at this carefully, because it gives us the same perfect picture that we see over here in chapter 20 in the book of Revelation. Each one of these scriptures just bears witness with it a little bit more. Before I go any farther, do we have any questions on any of it so far? So that I don't get ahead of you, I want you to know and to understand all of this. It is part of the prophecies we are looking into. So any questions on it? You understand the judgment so far? All right, we'll continue with it then. We have another scripture that we find in the New Testament that is talking about, again, the same time period. This is found in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. We know, as we've studied, that every time in the Bible that the words are spoken, the last day, the Lord's day, that day, that it speaks of the same time period, the end of times when redemption is completed. This is what we're seeing here. Let's read so that we can have the full picture in mind. Let's read from verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." We certainly know this is true. All prophecies do come to pass. This one has come to pass, and it will continue coming to pass, that knowing this first in the last days, people will say, "We've heard this all of our lives. Our grandparents even talked about this. You keep saying Jesus Christ is coming back, the day of the Lord. He's going to destroy sin off of this world. He's going to redeem the earth back. It still is going to happen. It doesn't matter if it's in my lifetime. It certainly didn't matter that it was not in the Apostle Paul's lifetime. But Jesus Christ says, and all of his words that he says, will never be done away with. They will be fulfilled. So remembering these things, knowing that this starts to happen first, people saying, it's not going to happen. It's not happened in all this time, so it's not going to happen. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. If they wanted to know the truth and understand from God, they would put some time in their lives to put God in their mind for their prayer, their study of the Word, their seeking so that God can open their eyes. So anyone that does not want to have truth and understanding, they do it willingly. They are willingly ignorant because they don't want to know. They spend their time on their everyday, as verse 3 says, walking after their own natural desires, everything in their own life. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. He is reminding us that there was a time that God destroyed this earth in Noah's day by water. He destroyed it. It perished. And yet, looking at this verse, and there are other verses that say the same thing, we know that the earth was not destroyed by water, that it was the sin and the sinner that was destroyed by the water. The earth remained the same when, after a number of months and time, years, in fact, it was over a year, went by, that the waters gradually receded, and this whole earth was still here. Those that were saved in the ark, they came out and the earth was repopulated once again. We know that the earth was not destroyed. It did not perish. When he is speaking of this, that we might understand the end day when it says the earth will perish by fire. The earth will not be destroyed by fire, only the sin and the sinners on it, just as this, verse 6. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. This is the time of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, the word of God, they are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The earth itself is not destroyed by fire. We know, as we study through the seven trumpets and the seven vials that are poured out upon this earth, we know by that over 2/3 of this earth is burned up, but not the earth itself. The green things upon it are burned up and destroyed. Mankind, much of mankind, is burned and destroyed. The earth is simply cleansed by fire this time as it was by water before. Just as God's word that he would destroy by water, he did. This time it says he will destroy by fire. He will. Again, the earth itself will not be totally destroyed, only cleansed by this fire. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. This is God's creative time. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Just because he doesn't jump to strike you with lightning, just because he doesn't jump to destroy the world when it's found in sin, just because he doesn't jump at our time, doesn't mean anything. God's word is what means everything. He will do what he has said he will do. What he promises, both good and judgment against sin, he will do in his time. His time just isn't as our time. Thank God he has greater mercy than mankind could ever imagine to have. But he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not all are going to be saved. But his desire, his very reason for hanging on that cross and being resurrected, is that all should come to repentance. The very word repentance is not I'm sorry. It is turning away from sin. The very meaning of the word is to turn around from your sins, not continuing in them. Sometimes people think that repentance means saying every night before you go to sleep, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I committed today. And then tomorrow you do the same thing and you, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins. And he accepts this and forgives you. But that's not even what the very meaning of the word means. It doesn't anywhere say that you say you're sorry and you're forgiven. It says if you repent, you're forgiven. And you are. Of any sin outside of blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. But repentance, the very word, means turn around from your sin and not commit that same sin again. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? We're seeing here verse 10, it looks like as we just read, if we take this one verse out, and we just look at that one verse, it looks like the earth is going to just simply disappear in heat, that it's all the heavens and the earth, they're just going to be gone. But no more so than verse 6 when it says perish. Perish means done away with. It is the sin and the cleansing of this earth, because we find in Revelation and all the other scriptures that the kingdom of God, both this earth and the New Jerusalem and the heavens, continues forever, that he redeems or brings it back to perfection. So the heat, the elements of fire, verse 10 and verse 11 and verse 12 that we're seeing here that seems to show the earth destroyed by fire at the end of the millennium. But we know that it's sin that is totally destroyed as it was in Noah's day. It is not the earth that's totally destroyed. Otherwise, scripture is contradicting itself. And this word of God doesn't contradict itself. It's just as the flood. The flood didn't destroy the earth itself, and there were some that were saved, those that were in the ark, and it lifted up above the waters. The scriptures that we have been studying for so long now has showed us those that will be saved from this fire. We know the bride, first of all, the church that is raptured and called out, will be those as the ark. They will be saved from the destruction. And then those the first 3.5 years after that have to be martyred and give their lives not to take that mark of the beast. They also will be saved, just as Noah's family was. These are the redeemed, and then those that are still here at the end of the Battle of Armageddon will be here to be judged at the judgment of nations. These scriptures are describing what Peter is seeing here. He's describing all of that period of fire that we find, the destruction by fire upon a third of the earth and a third of mankind, that we studied about as we studied the plague in prophecy and Revelation and the other scriptures. Peter is seeing the same thing. Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is describing the same things that we are seeing here in the 20th chapter of Revelation. First comes destruction, then all that is called that day of the Lord, the destruction of the sins. Next comes the restoration, or the redemption, the restoration and redemption. This is the work that takes place during that 1,000 years. The work of Jesus Christ and his saints. We learned last time just who all this is, and we see it again here in chapter 20 and verse 4 and 5. during the reign of the kingdom. This is 1,000 years millennium when the kingdom will be ruled right here on this earth, because Jesus Christ will be ruling from the throne of David in Jerusalem, not the New Jerusalem, just Jerusalem. This will be the time when this earth is brought under, as we saw in Corinthians there, all the power, rule, and authority will be brought under the Almighty God. Will not be by mankind any longer. After this restoration and this redemption, and after this 1,000 years, then comes eternity. There will be no end. Then comes eternity. The work of redemption will be complete at the end of the 1,000 years of reign of Jesus Christ when he sets his kingdom up on this earth. The kingdom itself, even at eternity, this kingdom of God will last forever. It will never be destroyed. It will last forever. That is eternity. Any questions so far? According to the scriptures, and as we read in one place tonight, every man according to his own place. The bride of Christ, or the church that's raptured out, those that are ready according to the scriptures, as Paul says, at the twinkling of an eye, they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. This is the rapture before he comes back, the Battle of Armageddon. Those will proceed after the 1,000 years to return back up to that New Jerusalem that is spoken of. We will be getting into that in the 22nd chapter when it comes down and hangs over the earth. The saints that died, gave their lives, and had to be martyred during the first 3.5 years after that, they remain on this earth to rule with David and with those that are redeemed, all that are redeemed at that time. So there is a separation, each man according to his time and place. So some will go and reign from the New Jerusalem where they go in and out. The others will reign right here from this earth. Any other questions on this time? Did you understand that one? For a very short time. There's just a short one verse that tells that, because it's such a short time. He's loosed again for all of those that have not tasted death yet. It's brought under up until that time. It takes 1,000 years for it to be cleansed and totally brought under the perfection of God's ways. Then, because there are many people that have never been tempted, God is no respecter of persons. So, at the end of the 1,000 years, those that have not yet tasted death, those that have never been tempted, they've just been born during that 1,000 years, they've walked perfect because they've had no Satan to tempt them. God being no respecter of persons, he has to loosen Satan for a very short while that they might be tempted too. Otherwise, he would be a respecter of persons. We live today with Satan continuously on our back, and so has all the world. Those people during the 1,000 years that lived so long, they were never tempted. So Satan is loosed that he might tempt them again for a very short while. It doesn't say how long. It stresses just a short while. It could be a matter of a few days. It could be a few weeks. It could be a few months. It doesn't say. He is loosed so that he might tempt people. And then quickly, those that follow him, and there are still those just as today that will turn right around and start doing what they're doing now. And they'll all be destroyed then, cast into the lake of fire eternally. Does that answer it? I know that for some of you new ones that are just coming in on this, it takes a long time to come to full understanding. But the scripture teaches us that as we learn this word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We don't learn it all at once. It's impossible. We grow each step. Our main objective is that as we learn, we do what we learn. That you be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. When you learn the scriptures, when you read them, you study them, then you apply them to your life. These prophecies are very important to us. They give us a clear understanding of time, even though by now we've passed our time. Hopefully, we've passed our time. God's people have been caught up in the bride. We've come back, went through the tribulation time from heaven. Those have been martyred. 1,000 years reign, and now we're at the end of this. It is the finishing up of what was started all the way back, mainly at the time Jesus Christ died on that cross and was resurrected, starting the redemption program. Started all the way back when he was born into this world. Started all the way back when God gave that promise to Eve that from her seed would come a savior of this world. So redemption has always been in God's mind to redeem mankind back to himself. So any other questions? Let's continue just a little bit more. Revelation mentions in the 20th chapter where we just read here from verse 4 through 6, it mentions the first resurrection. Does it mention anywhere a second resurrection? Does anyone know? Does it ever say anything about a second resurrection? It finishes in verse 5, says this is the first resurrection. It's a finished of the first resurrection. So the question is there ever any mention of a second resurrection? There's no mention at the white throne judgment of a second resurrection. Get in mind now what this very word resurrection means. Anyone? You say it's a second death, but not a second resurrection. So we have several opinions. Anyone else? So second death, second resurrection. You're saying there's no second resurrection either. Anyone else wants to add? A resurrection is a resurrection to life. It doesn't say they come back to life. It says it gives up its dead to be judged. Resurrection is an immortal body. Can anyone give a scripture on the second resurrection? Surely if you think there's a second resurrection, you have to have a scripture to back it up. Do you see a second resurrection in that? This is the same thing that verse 5 over here says, the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is after Satan is loosed, because he's loosed in that 1,000 years at the very end of it. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The question again, to make it specific, is there any scripture or what do you think about there being a second resurrection? One more. Go ahead. But he's part of this first resurrection. See that first resurrection that starts with the rapture and doesn't end here until after the 1,000 years reign. There is only one first resurrection. Yet think of what the word means, the very word resurrection means. See, resurrection is a resurrection to life, the first resurrection. It is self-explanatory here. If you really look at the words, the meaning of it, and the way the sentence is, and it's all the same, you can search from Genesis through Revelations, and you will never see the words a second resurrection. Instead, listen to this carefully. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. There is a first resurrection and there is a second death. There's no second resurrection. If you aren't part of the first resurrection, which begins at the rapture, that's the first resurrection where those that are resurrected from the bride, both those that are dead in Christ already and those of us that remain alive, as the Apostle Paul says, they're called up to meet him. That's the beginning of the first resurrection. But remember, it's progressive, as the scriptures teach us, and it is not finished until this period of time here. All that have immortal bodies are called resurrected. The others, like you're talking about the white throne judgment and those others that are judged dead, that all that ever live, we'll get to that. We aren't quite to that. That's over here in verse 12. We keep referring to it because it's part of it. But all those that are there, it's the second death, but it's not a second resurrection. Otherwise, they would be given immortal bodies, and they're not given immortal bodies. They're cast into the lake of fire. It's a second death. There's no second resurrection. Study it and try to find one in the scriptures. We have here, Revelation does mention and speak of often the first resurrection and a second death, not second resurrection. Never mentions the second resurrection. When the dead come forth for judgment, it is not called a resurrection. They're dead. They're not given an immortal body. It's called the second death. Jesus does mention a resurrection of damnation. When Revelation says the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished, it is connected here with the second death mentioned in this next verse when we continue here. The Great White Throne Judgment is recorded here, as someone mentioned, in verse 11 and 12, and it's recorded at the end of the 1,000 years because it's the finish of total judgment. There is a distinct possibility that this is just the finish of this great white throne judgment. It is like the first resurrection. It cannot take place in an instant because time has no meaning. Time is relevant. It just has no meaning with God at this time as it does to us. Our every minute has something to us. Seems like years just speed by so quickly anymore. In God's realm, there's no time except what he allots for us. We're each allotted time. This white throne judgment takes a long, 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 long time to complete because this is the judgment of everyone. As it says, the sea gives up the dead and so forth. The way that we're reading this is that this white throne judgment has probably been going on during this 1,000 years. We know that in the scriptures, even though two events happen at the same time, they have to be recorded one after another. You can't write and you record two events at the same time, one on top of each other. Has to be one event recorded and then the next one. Even if they're happening at the same time, we learned this already in our studies. We know that a judgment on such a vast scale as this white throne judgment would have to take considerable time, and the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem that hangs over the new earth must follow immediately at the end of the millennium, because that's when the scriptures say that the bride in Christ will begin to rule then after this 1,000 years from the New Jerusalem. In order not to make us wait longer than 1,000 years, this white throne judgment would have to be going on during all of this time. But there is no scripture that specifically says this. It just, as we saw all the rest of it, be written one event following another one. We do have one scripture that indicates this fact, that the great white throne judgment could start. Keep in mind, it's like the first resurrection. It could start with the return of Jesus Christ and end at the same time as the millennium. This is enough scripture indicating and pointing to this that I feel that's what this is. You read it for yourself in Revelation, the 11th chapter and verse 18. We've studied this already, but this is the same time period, the seventh trumpet sounding. It's at the very end, just before we start in to the earthly time, as the same as the parallel time with the heavenly time. It says here in verse 18, "The nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth." So here it's all lumped together at the same time period, one right after another, while the time when Jesus Christ comes back with his rewards for the Battle of Armageddon and going into the millennium. the judgment of these dead also is taking place. Now, once more, read this. And the nations were angry. The battle of Armageddon going into the coming back of Jesus Christ with the saints to this earth. And thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, not resurrected. That's part of this already. And the rest of it, thou should give rewards unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. Here is at the same time his coming back. Them that fear thy name, small and great, and destroy them which destroy the earth. So he puts it all together, the time era, all together right in this one verse. Over here, it's adding more detail and it's separating it out. The time era is probably still the same. This judgment of the dead, the great white throne judgment, would include all ever of the dead. All who are not raised to immortality are in the great white throne judgment. All, from the beginning until the ending. However, there will be death during the millennium. Life will, again, as we've studied, be a long, long, long time back as it was before God stopped it, before the time of the flood. Hundreds of years, even can be thousand years. We know Methuselah was how old? There was quite a few along his age. How old was Methuselah? It was almost 1,000 years. Age, again, will be that long according to the scripture. But death is not done away with until after the millennium. Those that go into the 1,000 years will probably all die. With this, I'll close tonight. Isaiah tells of the new heavens and the new earth, the redeemed heaven and redeemed earth. He saw the kingdom, that 1,000 years, not in its perfection, not after it was finished with. He saw it in its process, during the 1,000 years reign of Jesus and his saints. This is the process by which the earth is made new or made without sin, where its only righteous dwelleth within it. We'll close with reading this in Isaiah 65 tonight. This prophet saw as it was being done, Isaiah 65, and reading from verse 17. This is prophecy concerning the time that we're studying in over here in the Revelation. Isaiah has shown this. Isaiah 65 from verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. But it's the same thing as the new earth after the flood. It's a redeemed and cleansed earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the day of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. This is a picture, as Isaiah saw it, of the entire process of this redemption of the earth, when this earth is made totally free from sin, eternally. Amen. Do you have any questions as we close this out tonight? Well, we know they're not going to the New Jerusalem, don't we? So where is it that they go according to what we've studied? We just got through teaching on this, showing that the first resurrection isn't totally finished until that 1,000 years reign. Each one that is resurrected, the resurrected ones. But you've got to realize this, that it's very, very doubtful. The reason it doesn't specifically say out of the 1,000 years, those that die will be given immortal bodies or they will not be, is because those that go into this, according to the first judgment of nations, when the nations are judged, that all of them have already tasted of sin. And it's very doubtful that they will be perfected during this time. Most of them, probably, when they die, will still die in that sin. But there's no words that say they will or not. It's just that death still goes in this 1,000 years, just not few short years were allotted now. It reverts back to what it was. All that are born during this time will be tempted at the end of that time. But still, there's only the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem for anyone, and each one according to what? We know what the bride's going to inherit. So we know what's left over. Pretty easy to understand on that part. Any other questions? Call the dead walking into the cities. That's all it is. It's simply showing the power of God. I'm sure that those dead were the ones that were the saved dead of the dispensation of law. They went right back to the graves. This was just during that short period of time. All was blackness, and when he was dying and going into the grave, and they were even seen and recognized, but they weren't resurrected and given immortal bodies yet. It was just that the dead came out of the graves, and they walked, and they went back to the graves. Yes, every case, God being the just, perfect God he is, everyone will be judged out of the books, what are written and being written in the books at their life. I don't know why God feels it even necessary to give people a chance to see their life. It says they won't answer him, that they will stand there with no excuse. But he does. He shows them their life. They're judged by that. And they're cast into the lake of fire. Some way, his mercy is so far beyond, and his justice is so far beyond anything that our minds can even begin to comprehend. Justice to me, in my natural mind and way of thinking, they know what they did. They knew they died. He doesn't have to give answer to anybody, but he does. He brings up and shows. It's just like, why does he let Satan come before him to say, well, look at this one. If you let me at him, I can trip him up. Why doesn't he tell Satan to get lost, not point a finger? God is just to such a point that our minds in the natural state will never fully comprehend, as the scriptures say. His ways and his thoughts are so far above ours that we'll never fully comprehend his mercy and his perfect, perfect justice. He gives so many reasons and so many ways that God doesn't have to, but he does. The parable, if you can call it a parable, the story of the sheep and the goats is the judgment of nations. So he says in the nations at that one. That's the one that's already taken place of those going into the millennium. The great white throne judgment is the end where all of the dead from Adam and Eve come before. Yes, it's the second death, not second resurrection. It's the second death, the white throne judgment. God bless you.